Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when your living word is heard, received, and transforms us. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of us preachers who use the lectionary as a tool to make sure we get through the whole of the Bible in 3 years, there are some Sundays when all the lectionary texts provided just don't work. None of them is any good. This isn't one of those days. You know, it's appropriate, I think, in some ways, because we have the NHL All-Star Game going on in Los Angeles at this time, that we have kind of an assortment of all-star texts from Scripture. You have that beautiful passage from Micah 6, "What does the Lord require of you?" And then you have the Beatitudes, Sermon of the Mount. Then you have that marvelous passage again that Moses and Paul have been dealing with these last two Sundays, still not quite finished with us yet. The way God reverses all our expectations and gives us in Jesus Christ wisdom for our world. And so when I came to approach these texts, I really couldn't give up on any one of them. I had to kind of preach them all, which is hard to do. But you wouldn't keep Sidney Crosby on the bench, would you, while Austin Matthews plays, or not put Shea Weber out there? No, this is a full court press, to mix my metaphors. But I had to discern, at least here for me, the way these texts came together. What was that one theme, that one word that came so powerfully through them all? And for me, it is this: that because of our relationship with God, we have a different identity. It is not an identity that we get from the world or from the world's expectations. Because of who God is, we too are different. We too have the possibility to be someone wonderful. Now, to get there, it does turn things upside down a little bit. I don't know if you heard that Micah passage. Really, it begins with God in a court case against his people Israel. They had been disobedient. He says, "Why are you wearying me? What have I done against you that you choose death instead of life?" And they go back, "Lord, we'll give you rivers of oil. We'll give you thousands of rams. We'll sacrifice our firstborn child for you." And God says, "Don't you get it? You still not understand who I am. I brought you out of slavery in Egypt, not to buy me off, but because I love you. What do I want from you?" Well, they're all covenantal terms. Mishpat, to do justice, which in the covenant is to do your part in your relationship with me. And that word hesed, loving kindness, that covenant loyalty, that loyalty of relationship which says, "I'm not going to abandon you, don't you abandon me." And you bring them all together and simply walk humbly with me as a servant in this life and world. It's not about your wealth. It's about our relationship. So we come to the Beatitudes, Jesus sitting down on that mountain. And in Matthew, I mentioned there are five mountaintop experiences as well as five long discourses. And those mountaintop experiences are as important as the words themselves, because every time Jesus goes up a mountain, everyone comes down changed. And the last mountain he goes up is at the very end of his gospel, where he tells his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." And he leaves us there on the mountain. And the question for us is, will we go into the world and change it? But here in these Beatitudes, he begins that transformation. He tells them, doesn't give them a new set of commandments. Always have to be careful. The Beatitudes are not imperatives, they're indicatives. They don't tell you what you're supposed to do. They tell you who you are now because Jesus has come. Blessed are the poor. Don't go out and become poor. If you realize the truth, you already are poor because you have nothing in yourself, no claim on God. But you are fortunate. You are blessed because Jesus has come for all of us. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Maybe you're getting tired of doing that, but I'll tell you, you are fortunate because it is the truth. Because I am here and that is my reign. And when you thirst and hunger after righteousness, you are participating in what is eternal and will not pass away. You are different because of who I am. Your future is different. Your hope is different. Your security is assured because of who I am. And so we come to that letter to the Corinthians. Now you have to understand the Corinthians, they were a pretty shallow group. They believed in consumerism. They believed in putting on a show. They believed that the wisdom of the world was whoever could flaunt the most wealth or win the most hearts or make the greatest impression, well, they were the ones to be honored. The ones who had social status, the ones who were born in the right family, well, they were the important ones. And the Corinthians spent a lot of time and trouble. In fact, they had Olympic games in Corinth, not for athletic events, but for rhetoric and poetry, that people could show off their gifts and claim importance and significance by their cleverness. And Paul came and showed them the cross and said, "This is the wisdom. It's not cleverness. It's love. It's not wealth. It's self-giving. It's not grandiosity. It's servanthood. This is wisdom that makes foolish all the wisdom of our world." And you Corinthians have to begin to learn again. You only learn from the weak and the dispossessed. I think all these truths, this one truth, that we are different because of the relationship that God offers us to live in, not to die in, but to live in. Because of who God is, we have the possibility to live this identity of life. And we need that wisdom for our time. In case you missed it, we've had an interesting week, this first week of the presidency of Donald Trump. And it affects us all, doesn't it? The world is taking notice and is shaking a little bit. It's some ways, he's turning things upside down. There he is saying, oh, I love torture. And his Republican Senate and House are scrambling to say, folks, torture is illegal, and we do not support it. On the 72nd anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, of all things, he forbids the immigration of refugees to his country. Those who are fleeing religious persecution, he adds a kind of religious persecution. And never mentions the Jews or the Holocaust or Auschwitz. It's a little frightening. I do not blame those women who came out and marched. This is Mike Wiswell's daughter. She was there with 500,000 sisters, and of course they marched in Toronto too, and they marched in London and all around the world to say that we, the weak and the dispossessed and the marginalized, will not be silenced. That here is the truth, here is wisdom for our time. And we need these voices, and we need these hearts. We need to know this truth. It's not always easy. This is a suburb in Israel called Jabal Mukaber. You can see the Dome of the Rock in the top right of the picture there. It's right in Jerusalem. It's East Jerusalem. It's a Palestinian village. In Israel, we had a woman named Debbie Wiseman, a wonderful interpreter of Judaism. She teaches at the Hebrew University there in Jerusalem. She was born in New York City, and she came to Tantour to talk to us about modern Judaism and its relationship with Christianity. But Debbie also talked about Jabal Mukaber, because it was a suburb that they were going to put that security wall right through. So they were going to separate children from parents and grandchildren from grandparents. And Debbie and many of her colleagues, Jews, gathered to say that this was an unjust thing to do, that it wasn't right to separate these Palestinians within their own family, that that wall still went up, but it went around Jabal Mukaber. But after it did that, in the recent terrorist attacks in Jerusalem in the past few years, so many of the perpetrators came from Jabal Mukaber. And Deborah, in front of our Tantour group, agonized whether she had done the right thing. I think she did. Now, as a Jew, I would want to protect my children and my family. But as a human being who has a new identity in the love of God, I think we need to take risks. Because when we build walls, whether they be between the United States and Mexico, or between families in Jabal Mukaber, we are eliminating the possibility of love. God has taken a risk. In Jesus Christ, God was crucified for taking that risk, but in the resurrection, God said to us all, I will do it again, because this is the only way. Life and hope and peace. This identity, not in wealth and not in rivers of oil and thousands of rams, but in servanthood and self-giving. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. All the walls in the world will crumble. But love is eternal. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. The Corinthians just didn't get it. We don't seem to get it. You know, it isn't the billionaires that really are the successful ones. It is every moment and every place where someone realizes their significance because they know they are loved. That beggars all the riches of the world. God took the nothings, his disciples, his followers, the women, and he showed that they were something. And wherever we recognize that, the world is better and life is richer. And the truth flows. It's wonderful when you see it happen, and it happened a few months ago. I don't know if you saw this story about Amanda Lamond. Amanda's mother died when she was about 8 years old from bone cancer. Amanda was an only child, and her mother was a single mother, and when her mother died, she got shipped around the country. She was taken, her mother, they lived in Washington State, she was shipped to Texas, she was shipped to California, she ended up in foster care. She lost herself. Throughout her life, she reestablished herself, she became a mother herself, but she still felt lost. And then, 23 years after her mother had died, a box arrived at her doorstep. Her mother's executor had moved, and in the course of her move, she discovered a box of letters from Amanda's mother, Barbara Jane Hart. And with no notice, she just sent this box to Amanda, and she found it on her doorstep. And she opened it up and received her identity again. Here she is reading one of her mother's letters.
Dear Amanda, you know I really miss you and not being able to get up with you every day. Well, honey, try to keep smiling and be brave. Even if I'm not able to do anything with you, I still love you as much as ever. You're very special to me, honey, and don't you ever forget it. You have a special little light that glows like a star. Don't ever let it go out, baby. You are the bravest little girl I've ever known, and I know you're going to have a great life. Just don't ever give up. And remember something else, it's very important, Amanda. Don't ever get involved with any boys or men that hurt you or make you feel bad about yourself. You remember what you told.
That's good advice. That's wisdom of a kind. The real wisdom Amanda received in those letters was the presence of her mom. It was the relationship she was given again that she had lost. And now, 23 years after her mother's death, she's surrounded by her love again. The wisdom God gives us for our time is this letter from Paul. This word from Micah. These beatitudes from Jesus. This thing we call the Bible is the gift of presence which surrounds us Our wisdom is in the one who will not let us go, who serves us and loves us and turns the world upside down to reach us. We have a different identity. In the midst of all the challenges of our time, and there are many more challenges than presented by Donald Trump, I don't blame him for anything. We've got a whole world which needs us to be people of love. We've got family and neighbors and our own hearts that needs us to know who we are. And that is wisdom for our time. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, may we hear your word and live in relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.